compilation out, I think now called We're Still Here, that was gaining a lot of traction lately. And because I've been getting into grindcore a lot too, Maya Chun is another one, a transgender grindcore artist, goes by the Cheeseburger Picnic as well, and some of the most like absolutely insane, like ear-melting grind. It comes from a real place of like anger that doesn't feel like, doesn't feel forced, doesn't feel overproduced. Like
right,
that's
on. Okay.
Yeah, no, just a lot of great artists too. Like not even, like I know I'm focusing a bit on like the queer section, but also just like in general that I could see people projecting onto if they've ever lived like felt like othered in some way. Like
absolutely, yeah. There's lots of really good stuff right now. I'm feeling optimistic about music and about like the new generation. I'm almost 40 now, so I need to like put a bit more effort into trying to keep up with what like people who are 21 are listening to. But there's lots of good stuff, there's lots of good local stuff, and it's nice to exist in a time right now where it like, how should I say this, like being queer feels like cool. You know, I can't overstate how much it wasn't like that before, like for people when they were growing up in like my time, you know, like you can actually like for bands who put it in their bios like we're a queer hip hop group or something like that, like it makes
like Brockhampton,
it's like
maybe.
It's like cool cred. Whereas like if like for my era and where I grew up, like you would never think to do that, you would just be like a joke.
Yeah, no, like I've been,
so it's an amazing time in culture to see that there's like so much queer stuff and that like people are like supportive of that.
Yeah, like obviously I didn't have like firsthand, I would have been like what, negative 20 years old, but I've been binging through the Beastie Boys discography and absolutely loving it, but like the first album, their first album has some very suspect, like not on women and like lines on women and like queer people, and I did hear like they apologized very early about for like past mistreatment of women, of queer people at a time when that was still like commonplace in hip hop, which I mean, yeah, of course I totally respect it, but I do think like there's a disclaimer to be had, like I don't know like this is gonna sound, but I'm not like one who's easily like taken aback by like certain lyrics, but like that, like some of the lines on the first album were head scratching, and it's like, yeah.
Was it Paul's Boutique or was it
Paul's Boutique? Where they cleaned themselves, they cleaned up like their image, I think, on that one a lot.
Okay,
but
I've never listened to like early
Ill Communication. I mean, not Ill, License to Ill, like, and then Ill Communication.
Oh, yeah, I know the name. I don't remember that album very well.
Ill Communication, which is the one I've most recently listened to. Like that one is where they really started like adding a more conscious, progressive, like, approach to their music, like, the, you know, like, in a way that wasn't preachy. I think that's one thing, like, I really love is when an artist, like yourself, tackles, like, these heavy issues in a way that feels, like, authentic rather than, like, you're preaching to the choir. And,
thank you. So, I try my best with that stuff, so thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no, and so, any closing remarks?
You seem really passionate, and I love it.
Thank you.
This is awesome, yeah. I'm gonna check out
the show running soon, yeah.
But yeah, I'm happy to be alive. I am happy to be a Vancouver musician.
Great stuff. And do we have any like upcoming projects we should know of?
I have a ton of shows coming up this summer. Ooh. So yeah.
Yeah, I went to Westward and I caught your show. It was really nice.
Oh my god. I can't believe I got to play the Vogue.
It was so cool.
It was crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I think that like there's been a bit of like an added sort of like a wave of interest since the Polaris thing. Have you heard of the Polaris Music Prize?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I was thinking getting it mixed up with Mercury, but yes, I've heard of Polaris.
It's Canada's version of the Mercury Award, but yeah, so that was kind of a crazy thing. I got nominated for it last month.
Congratulations!
Thank you, yeah. And so I've sensed that there's been like a newfound sort of like wave of interest, like some show offers this summer, so I feel like I'm sort of riding a wave of like excitement and interest right now. I just finished the next Devours album.
Ooh.
So I'll put that out next year. I still have to come up with like art direction and stuff like that, but musically it's done. And so yeah, the summer's gonna just be playing lots of shows and trying to fall in love. William, I'm searching for love right now.
Yeah, same here.
What?
here's open. I'm happy. I'm happy for you too.
Okay, yeah. Let's try to find love.
All right. This has been William Hofsink with
Devours.
Oh, and for CJSF, and thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
William and Devours. Jeff, chatting at the Catalina Music Festival. Great interview. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Jeff. And this is Jeff's other project, The Golden Age of Wrestling, featuring future star Labradorite. Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Here in the second half of the show, and we're gonna end the Golden Age of Wrestling a little early just so that we can keep things moving and hear our next interview, which is also conducted by William at Catalano, featuring the musician Matthias Roden. So we're going to hear one of his tracks called Close Your Eyes, and then you'll hear William and Matthias's conversation.
Because you're
OffSync, coming with you with CJSF. And today I am with...
Matthias Roden.
Yes, Matthias Roden. Can you give us a little background for yourself?
Please? Yeah, so, well, the reason I'm being interviewed is because I performed first at the Vine stage at Catalano today. I'm a British Peruvian-Canadian singer-songwriter. I released my first single last November through Light Organ Records, which is a local record label. And Catalano today is my first outdoor festival ever.
Oh, so congratulations.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Big day.
Can I ask you, like, do you ever have, like, one of those, like, flashbulb memories of when, like, music kind of, like, became your life? Like, was it a specific album or was it, like,
It was probably discovering Bruce Springsteen in high school.
Oh, nice.
I had a Bruce Springsteen obsession that my friends would make fun of me for. But it just made me look at music in a different way, like, more as a storytelling thing, almost like a spiritual thing. And it inspired me to start writing songs.
You know, I haven't listened to a lot of his stuff, but what I have heard, I've really liked. And I think one thing that really frustrates me about, like, kind of Bruce Springsteen fandom is a lot of people kind of see, like, the image of the boss, but not,
right,
like, the meaning behind his words. Like, there's so many, like, boomers who are like, oh my god, he represents the best of America, when he's really, like, kind of shining a light at, like, some of the worst parts.
Yeah.
But also kind of, like, the joy you can find in there. And I guess, is your music kind of, like, exploring similar ideas?
Yeah, well, a lot of my music is, it's kind of, I call it retro pop. It's very, like, 80s pop inspired. So it's kind of, like, Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen, but make that sound a whole album. And lyrically, I guess I can keep mentioning him because I'm very inspired by him in the sense that a lot of his lyrics are about trying to get out of whatever situation you're in your life. And my lyrics are pretty similar. It's a very kind of dark topics, like depression, homelessness. If it's heartbreak, it's like heartbreak so bad you want to die. But I like the music to be bright and upbeat and up-tempo to contrast with that. So, yeah, to answer your initial question, it was more about...
No, go ahead.
I totally lost track of my initial
question. Keep going. I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's music that I hope sort of people that are going through something difficult in their life could relate to or could get something from. But I don't want it to sound too depressing, if that makes sense. So,
do you think, like, I listen to a lot of, like, really sad music,
yeah,
too. Like, I've been getting into the Red House Painters recently.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Their music also sounds very, like, bleak and...
Yeah.
Do you think there's, like, a purpose to music that not only... Like, because your music, again, you say there's a huge contrast between the bright sounds,
yeah,
and the
big
darker lyrics. Do you think that there's a purpose for both? Or, like, because I know some people are, like, they don't really see the point of listening to music that's too sad, but
yeah,
I personally think it can be kind of cathartic.
I absolutely agree. I think, at least myself, whenever I'm going through something really difficult, it's cheesy, but it makes you feel like you're not alone. It makes you feel like... I mean, usually songs like that have some kind of arc. There's some kind of resolution, even if it's just accepting whatever's happening. That's kind of what I try to do with my song. My first album, which is what I performed today, almost every song off of it, actually, 10 songs on the set list, is kind of... It's a journey sort of from the bits of hell into finding a bit more acceptance in your life.
It's really... What's it called?
The Verdict. Nobody knows that, so actually,
oh,
I don't know if you can clear that.
Yeah, I can edit anything out, but...
Sure. Yeah, it hasn't come out yet, but my idea for it was... I love the album The Downward Spiral by...
I was just going to ask, like...
So mine is the opposite, because that one, he starts out kind
of
bad, and then he ends up dying at the end, essentially. Mine is kind of the opposite. Like, you start out wanting to die, you end up realizing that maybe life is worth living a little bit.
Kind of reminds me a bit of... have you ever heard the album Dogman Star by Suede?
I know Suede, but I don't know if I've heard that.
It's amazing,
yeah,
and it... I don't think, like... It's kind of controversial as to whether or not it counts as a concept album.
Right.
But the title is supposed to be, like, the loose idea. It's, like, starting out, like, pretty much, like, debauched,
right,
homeless, trying to find a way to survive, and then eventually,
yeah,
like, climbing up the ranks. And it's, like, very loose lyrical themes in it,
right,
but... So it doesn't necessarily have to be concept, but
right,
that's kind of how I see it. Do you have, like, any other, like, albums that aren't really technically considered concept albums that you kind of, like, assign a concept to?
As in ones that I've made or the ones that I've inspired?
Oh, no, what you've heard, like...
Oh, that I've heard. Oh, gosh, I mean, I'm really blanking here.
Or do you just have, like, other favorite, like, concept albums?
I mean, I love Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and Infinite Sadness
really
is supposed to be a concept
it,
album.
It is? I've listened to that one a lot, but I've never...
I think so. I think it's supposed to have some overarching narrative. My approach to my music right now, because I've been writing songs for so long, I've written songs for the last 10 years, but I used to write for other people and other artists in like the local like kind of indie pop scene.
Any names I should know? Because I'm trying to get more into the local scene too.
Reed Zachwell's, I wrote with a guy called Francis Batiste. I was actually playing today.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Nothing like huge came out of it. Like, I didn't get like a song on radio or anything like that. But it was kind of my into the local scene. And then I wrote the song for this album in the last like 2 to 3 years. But because I spent so long writing and I never actually released anything, the album to me kind of sounds like a greatest hits collection in the sense that it's very different. So there is that sort of narrative, lyrical thread towards it, kind of like the albums you were talking about.
Yeah. Jane Doe by Converge is another one I've been really like. Have you heard of it? Like,
no, I have not.
It's pretty inaccessible because it's like mathcore. It's very like, I call it psychosis put to like pure psychosis.
I mean, I love
put
that
to
concept,
like.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like about a breakup and just the devastating aftermath. But it's like one of the most creative like breakup albums I've ever heard. And
yeah,
again, like
that.
It's very intense. Like there's just like, but it's also to me, it's kind of like a testament as to why what people like, draws people to like extreme music or like very like emotionally potent music. Like, again, like when I listened to the Downward Spiral in Grade 10 English class, I remember exactly where I was, and that like warped my music taste like forever.
It's
kind of like that moment too. But it's like it's got like very aggressive, intense, hardcore tracks. It's got like sludgy, atmospheric passages. It's like. Again, I just love it when albums like they got a variety on display. Like, it doesn't get one note, and I feel like when I'm talking to you, like that's kind of something that you that you're striving for.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah, I think I'm just it's my ADHD. My officially undiagnosed ADHD. That
Same.
Makes me that way. I get bored of sounds really quickly. So, like today, the first song I played is this kind of very almost psychedelic, like trip hop, electronica, very dreamy. And the next song is like straight up 80s synth pop. And I could see the crowd being like, oh, I didn't expect that, but
yeah.
I like that.
I'm so sorry I missed that. It sounds really cool.
I do like a variety of stuff, so I try to make my music have the same, just a bunch of ideas thrown together.
Yeah, and do you think like because I'm also trying to speak with more neurodiverse people
it's officially undiagnosed. Oh,
well,
at least suspected.
I mean,
every online test is given to me.
Not
it's absolutely impossible to get diagnosed here.
Yeah, it took me long too.
Yeah.
But what I was gonna say like. What was it? Do you think like the ADHD has kind of like impacted your music in like other ways too, or?
Yes, because I obsess about tiny details. I don't know if that's actually ADHD.
I think it is. The hyperfixation.
Exactly.
Hyperfocus.
So, it's kind of forced me to deconstruct a lot of songs and figure out why I like them and what makes them catchy. And I kind of apply the same to my music. I typically write my entire songs in my head before I even play a note on the piano. I don't know if that has anything to do with ADHD, but...
I mean, I have a bad habit of, like, coming up with things in my head and being like, okay, I have this very vivid picture, but it's so hard to get it perfect on the page.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it makes me probably less productive than I want to be. But yeah, no, I haven't thought too much about how it's impacted my music.
Again, it's a strange question, but...
Maybe my music tastes, because I get bored of things so quickly that I listen to everything. Like, I listen to... Like Nine Inch Nails. I'll listen to like the girliest pop music.
I love Charlie.
Charlie Sands' latest album. Amazing. I listen to music in Spanish and French and German and English. Like,
No, that's great. Maybe for like a couple more questions. Do you have like a favorite? So I think it obviously Bruce is your like favorite artist, right?
Probably, yeah.
Do you have like a favorite album of his or favorite song of his that you would like recommend?
Favorite album is one called Tunnel of Love, which not as many people are familiar with.
It's very sophisticated pop, right?
Yeah, it's sophisticated pop, kind of almost like 80s adult contemporary, but lyrically it's just absolutely brutal. And I love that. I love that the music sounds like a sort of romantic evening, but the lyrics are the most sort of incisive, depressing take on losing love, basically, and finding yourself an adult, sort of having wasted a part of your life, not really knowing where you want to go. Through the lens of a failing marriage, that's kind of the divorce album, that's the fans call it.
Oh, I see. Have you heard the song No Children by the Mountain Goats?
No.
It's... probably one of the most like heartbreaking, like deteriorating marriage songs I've ever heard. And again, for a lot of people have heard it from the show Moral Oral, which itself is very dark, like adult comedy. But that is like whenever I think like the marriage is ruined, that's the song that pops in my head. I definitely recommend it.
I haven't listened to a full album
of theirs, but like, but yeah, favorite Bruce song then?
Oh God, that's really hard. Let me think. You know, there's one called Spirit in the Night from his very first album in 1973. It's about a group of friends going to a lake, and depending on how you interpret the lyrics, either they get really drunk and then have a great time, or they drown and die. But it's this kind of jazzy, like, strange little song, and there's just something so beautiful and haunting about it. But it's also just something you can kind of groove to, I guess.
I gotta check that out, man.
And yeah, I think that might be my favorite. And he played it live the one time I saw him.
So, I'm hoping to take both my parents, this like one of the few artists they agree on that they love, is Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
I'm hoping maybe to take them like in the fall, because I think he's coming by.
Yes, right? He is. Yeah, I saw him 12 years ago, God. And I was right there, and I like touched his leg when I reached out. So yeah, I hope I can go again this year. But
Washington,
tickets are more expensive this time.
Yeah. All right, so... Okay. Anything else you'd like to say, like plug your socials or?
Yeah, well, you can find me on Instagram and Spotify. My name is Matthias Roden, MATIASRODEN. Check out the Castellano page. You can also find my link there somewhere, I'm sure. And yeah, I've got three songs out right now, and they're all from my upcoming EP, which comes out at the end of July. It's kind of alternative synth pop, retro pop is what I would call it, with really depressing lyrics. So if you're into that, then go check that out.
All right, thank you. This has been William Hofsink with CJSF and Matthias Roden. Goodbye for now.
Thanks to William and Matthias for that interview. Turns out we're not going to have time for Connor's interview with the Pipe Band. So you can look forward to that on a future episode of Speak Up, perhaps next Monday or Tuesday or next Thursday. You'll have to tune in and find out for yourself. We are going to then end the show with a little bit of music. This inspired by the first interview that William did with Jeff from Devours. We're going to hear some of the band Smush that Jeff shouted out and predicted would blow up. And I agree with Jeff. This band is really great. They just put out their record, If You Were Here, I'd Be Home Now. It's really good and full of all sorts of cool ideas and different sounds, all sort of rooted in that cool shoegazy stuff. So this is the opening track from the record, If You Were Here, I'd Be Home Now, called If We Didn't Cry. And might be time for more after, but that's probably it. So take care of yourself, and Democracy Now! Will be next. You see, you have to set it up so that it plays. Okay, we'll do that, and here we go. Smush, If We Didn't Cry, on Speak Up.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIS.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Every Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Radio. Burnaby.
Hi, I'm Amy.